Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. Comment is the big conversation, even the great debate, but it can only be either of those if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls. 44208-601-4555. That's the number to call. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line, and remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your television has to be down at zero, or I'll have to move swiftly on. You can also SMS the show on 4478008066, and the best of those will come up here on the comment wall. You can email me also at comment@presstv.co.uk. You can even tweet at @comment_presstv, and the best of all of those will come up here on the comment wall. It's the big question tonight. Who is to blame for the refugee crisis and why? First of all, you'd be surprised how many refugees there are in the world. In fact, let me pose that as a question. What percentage of people in the world are refugees? Now, that's refugees. And then you've got to add displaced persons. That is to say, people driven out of their homes but living in their own countries. On top of that, you find that it's rather a surprising number. So, there's my question. Out of how many people in the world, basically, are refugees? But we're talking in particular about this current wave of refugees as it is impacting on Europe. People didn't want to talk about it before when it was only impacting on Lebanon, on Jordan, even to some extent on Turkey. Nobody wanted to know. But once the people began to get on the boats and once the babies started to wash up on the beaches, trying desperately to get to Europe, everyone had to sit up and take notice. And they have. I think that's the first point in this debate that has to be acknowledged. There has been, if you'll forgive the pun, a sea change in public opinion, certainly in Britain and perhaps also across Europe, certainly in Germany, a sea change in people's attitude to this tide of human misery headed their way, or in some cases already arrived. Of course, the politicians don't all measure up to their public's opinion. In the case of the German government, I believe they've been very, very clever. They have decided that these refugees are mainly people of working age or lower. They are mainly people who have not gone to the camps in the region, but have the money, have the resources to pay the traffickers to get, in the end, to the European continent. They are educated people, many, many of them, skilled people, cultured people. They've got smartphones. They know about modern life in Europe. And Germany has made the calculation that actually, with an aging population, as both Germany and Britain have, wouldn't it be a good thing to get some fresh blood that will work to keep the rest of us when we're pensioners and no longer able to work? That's the calculation Germany's made. Thus, Germany is taking the best part of 1 million refugees. David Cameron intends to take, by 2020, 20,000. That's 4,000 per year. Germany is taking almost 1 million. Now, sometimes fools claim that Britain is full. Actually, here's a statistic that you won't believe, but I assure you it's true. All the people in the entire world could all stand on the Isle of Wight. That is a tiny island off the coast of England. Do the maths. But that's also a bit of a digression. What we're talking about here is the millions of people from countries that Britain and the United States and France and other European countries, including, as it happens in this case, Germany, have attacked, bombed, invaded, occupied, laid waste, made a ruin. And now the refugee blowback has come back to haunt the countries who did the bombing. There's no point in beating about the bush on this one. Britain has been a part of the making of millions of refugees. Britain has been a part of the destruction of country after country. And the consequences are now coming home to roost. But our political leaders here in Britain, at least, don't want to face the consequences of their actions. Here's David Cameron talking about refugees.
We have taken a number of genuine asylum seekers from Syrian refugee camps, and we keep that under review. But we think the most important thing is to try to bring peace and stability to that part of the world. I don't think there is an answer that can be achieved simply by taking more and more refugees.
Well, that's true up to a point. The answer is not to simply take more and more refugees, but that there is no answer, at least in the mind of the British Prime Minister, is rather alarming. You see, he says that he wants to bring peace and stability to the region. But actually, he and his predecessors, Tony Blair and Gordon Brown, have done more than almost anyone else to bring about that instability, that lack of peace, that misery, that war. So if I'm asking the question, who's responsible for this flood of refugees? The countries who invaded, bombed, strafed, occupied, divided, partitioned, and assisted and facilitated a wave of terrorism in the form of Al-Qaeda and ISIS, they are primarily responsible for the creation of these refugees. So the leaders who destroyed the countries from which the refugees are fleeing are now, in the case of Cameron at least, attempting Pontius Pilate-like to wash their hands of the consequences of their actions. Let's take the first call of the evening, and it's a rather special one. It is Eric Dreitzer, independent geopolitical analyst and founder of StopImperialism.org. He sounds like my kind of guy out there in New York City. Yes, welcome, my friend. Eric.
Thank you for having me, George.
Always a pleasure. Good to hear you.
Well, the issue is, of course, a really complex one and something that's very difficult to encapsulate in just a couple of minutes. And I think that I, of course, agree with everything you said, that from the broadest perspective, it is the Western powers, the U.S., NATO, imperial orbit that has bombed Libya, that has destroyed Syria, that has caused misery in Somalia, in Afghanistan, and all of these countries from which these refugees are coming. I think that this is really the beginning point. But I would point to something even more specific in terms of policy recently that is almost completely removed from the Western media narrative. For instance, Turkey, which is one of the main instigators of the war in Syria, which has been documented facilitating terrorism over the border, arming, training, and funding ISIS, al-Nusra, all of these other groups, Turkey had a so-called open-door policy for refugees coming out of Syria when they believed they would have upwards of 100,000 refugees and that it would help to destabilize Syria and thereby help them implement a regime change scenario. Well, it has backfired on Erdogan. Estimates now show upwards of 1.8 to 2 million refugees in Turkey. And now we have reports that have come out in Turkish media, which are being oppressed and censored by the Erdogan government for reporting precisely these issues, that in fact Turkish military and Turkish intelligence are facilitating the transfer of many of these refugees to the shores of Turkey, helping them to get onto boats, paying the traffickers involved in all of this human smuggling. So there is a complicity of these regional states in actually facilitating the transportation of these refugees. And I think that this is part of a broader strategy, because Turkey has realized that their regime change scenario has been a failure. Their plan to get rid of Assad has not worked. And so instead, what they would like to do is to drain Syria, and I'm speaking right now specifically about Syria, to drain Syria of human capital, to prevent it from being able to continue to wage the war against the terrorists and thereby to collapse the state from inside. I think that this is a fundamental point that has to be brought up that nobody in the media wants to discuss, because it actually exposes the international angle of this. This is not simply happening in a vacuum. There are powerful forces that are involved in facilitating this refugee issue. Now, if we look at Libya and the development of the so-called Islamic State or ISIS or Daesh, you see that these criminal gangs, which go under this broad umbrella of ISIS, they are principally involved in human trafficking. This is one of their main revenue-generating mechanisms, and these were the so-called allies inside of Libya, the so-called freedom fighters that the U.S. and the British and the rest of them were sponsoring to overthrow Gaddafi. So, in fact, it's not simply blowback. This is direct complicity in the creation of the networks that are facilitating the movement of these refugees. So there is an international component that needs to be understood. The financing from Saudi Arabia, from Qatar, the complicity of elements in Jordan, in Lebanon, in all of these countries, of course, Turkey as well, all of them have conspired to create what is undoubtedly an unfolding human tragedy.
Well, Eric, you're definitely my brother from another mother. That's the first point I need to make, because your discourse there echoed uncannily closely a conversation I had with my producer just before the show, particularly on the issue of Turkey and why all this is now happening as opposed to last year or the year before, why it's happening now, and why it's happening on the scale that it's happening on, and why the type of people involved that we just saw on the screen there are now involved in flight. I have no doubt myself that Turkey is directly involved in stimulating the largest possible flow of refugees from Syria and conveying them on their way to Europe. They have or could have many motives for that. We'll know in the next couple of weeks whether the principal motive, in my mind, is the real motive. The refugee crisis now, grotesquely, paradoxically, is being used as an argument not for less war in Syria, but for more war in Syria. The British government and others are saying, we can't go on like this. We can't keep taking hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people from Syria. We'll have to finish this war. And how can we finish this war? We have to join it. And we have to join it in serious force. I've got no doubt that this is a gamble that is being taken to try finally to bring down the regime in Damascus. Turkey, which has been the number one criminal, and there are many criminals in the picture, but the number one criminal in the picture of the disaster which has overwhelmed Syria is Turkey. And I say, like you said, that Turkey is also directly involved in the creation of this refugee crisis. Go ahead, Eric.
That's absolutely correct, and I just wanted to point out for viewers and for listeners that this is something that is not merely in the realm of theory. This is now documented fact. We have in Turkish courtrooms, it has come out that Turkish intelligence, the MIT, has been smuggling and arming the ISIS fighters, the al-Nusra fighters, and the many other extremists on their side of the Turkish-Syrian border. You now have the editor-in-chief of the Cumhuriyet Daily, one of the major papers in Turkey, who is facing a potential life sentence by the Erdogan regime, which has singled him out for exposing this and for publishing this information, the videos, as well as what's come out in courtrooms in the form of wiretaps, communications between Turkish intelligence and these terrorist fighters. So when you know you have the documented evidence that shows the collusion in terms of the terrorists going into Syria, I think it's not very much of a stretch at all to assume there's also collusion with those same elements in getting these refugees out of Syria, transiting across Turkey, and sending them off to Europe. Part of this is a self-defense strategy because they want to unburden themselves of a refugee crisis that they invited through their policies, one that they vastly underestimated, and simultaneously it's an attempt to drain Syria of human capital, of all of those, you see it, you see the pictures yourself, all of those, you know, who knows how many tens of thousands of men of fighting age who may have been conscripted into the Syrian military to defend the country. So this is actually, I think, one aspect of this asymmetrical warfare that Turkey has been using in order to implement regime change, which to this point has been an utter failure.
Eric, it's been a rare pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for joining us on board here at Comment this evening. Let's go via the internet for a Skype call from young Robert, the wisest young man anywhere to be found, certainly in Scotland. Go ahead, Robert.
Good evening, George.
Good evening to you. Tell me, what do you say?
Well, first off, before I start, I'd like to wish you the best of luck for your 2016 London mayoral electoral campaign.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes. Thank you.
I mean, just take comfort in knowing the fact you can't get any worse than a clown. Like Boris Johnson. Okay, so with regards to the refugee crisis, I think that Britain and America and Turkey have invited this refugee crisis by basically arming, supplying, funding, bankrolling, whatever you want to call it, the terrorist groups in Syria like Daesh, like Jabhat al-Nusra, like Ahrar al-Sham. These groups drove these people from their homes and into the arms of the people that claimed they were going to save them from a evil dictator. The British government and the Turkish government have been trying to create this refugee crisis as a means to kind of back the Syrian government into a corner and say, look what you've done, and kind of use it as an excuse to basically bomb the hell out of Syria.
Well, that's the amazing thing, Robert. The Sun, the Rupert Murdoch's Sun, is badging its campaign for more all-out war in Syria with the picture of the little boy drowned on the beach. I mean, you really couldn't make it up, even by the standards of Murdoch's newspapers. That kind of cynicism is pretty much taking the biscuit for me.
Yes, and that brings me on to another point. Like, Rupert Murdoch's The Sun, The Times, the tabloids, all these tabloids that have been running these scare stories about immigrants and foreigners taking their jobs and living in million-pound mansions at the expense of the taxpayer. They have used the death of Aylan Kurdi, the three-year-old boy that was found washed up on a beach in Turkey, who had actually fled Kobani. They found out that he died and plastered the image of his dead body on front of all their newspapers and did a complete 180, not for humanitarian reasons and because they actually cared, but to make money. And that is completely and utterly despicable. It is below the standards of any humanity whatsoever that they would plaster this image of this three-year-old boy that is dead, drowned in the Mediterranean, so they could sell papers and make money.
Well,
it's despicable.
They'd boil their own grandmothers and make her into soup if they thought there was a profit in it. Robert, thanks very much for that call. Danny is in Spain. He's on the line now. Go ahead, Danny.
Hello, George.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, well, ultimately, I think it's difficult to follow the wise words from the two previous callers, whom I agree with fully. However, I just think it's really clear that anyone really with a brain or common sense knows that this must have been caused by the West. You know, the destructions of cities in Libya, Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, Egypt, made the countries inhabitable for people, and they have no incentive to live there because of that. What life do they have there? And, you know, ultimately, what I want to add, which I don't think has been mentioned yet, is how much traitors these Arab, so-called Arab nations are, these Gulf nations, who, remember, have took in zero, none, refugees. We're talking about UAE, Bahrain, etc.
Zero. Zero. They've taken zero refugees, but they have spent hundreds of billions destroying the countries that are now the source of the refugees.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely, they've stemmed the crisis and they've made it happen and yet done nothing to resolve it because ultimately it is not in their interests. And I really think that this, you know, obviously the image of the boy washed up on the beach dead, that was the pretext to begin a war. I think that was the pretext to begin a bigger war and escalate things further. And, you know, ultimately, you need something in politics, a disaster or a crisis to happen or a large event to stem public attention the other way in order to get your policies through. And ultimately that, I think, has shifted public opinion and therefore the state and Rupert Murdoch and other sponsored interests can get their desires. And, yeah.
Well, a very, very powerful call from Spain. Thanks, Danny, for that. We're asking who is to blame for the refugee crisis and why. I could talk all night on this subject, but I've got so many people now on the line, I suppose I better share the microphone. Here's Farouk in London up next. Go ahead, Farouk.
Assalamu alaikum, George.
Wa alaikum salam.
Joe, like, I mean, it's already been said. I mean, definitely the West very much got their hands in from the beginning till end here. Plus Turkey, like I said, and the Arab states, the Gulf states. When you think eventually, I remember we're sending old convicts from the prison to actually work and, you know, to go there and fight against Assad's army. But until people wake up and, you know, if we really want peace in the Middle East, then, you know, at the end of the day, it's the normal people, everyday life people, that's paying the cost of it. You know, look at them, you know, leaving their home, leaving everything behind. For God's sake, what are all the politicians are about? You know, why can't we have a bit of peace if that's what we hear? And today what we heard from David Cameron again is that Assad must go.
Yes, he wants to send Britain's somewhat emaciated armed forces into a war that has been raging for 5 years, has cost the lives of almost a quarter of a million people, caused the flight of many millions, 5 million or more, a country that's in the middle of a raging civil war exacerbated by massive foreign intervention. He wants our soldiers to go into that war and fight both sides of it. A rather ambitious military plan, you might think. He wants us to fight the Syrian regime and ISIS. Of course, once the fighting began, I promise you, ISIS would be quickly second place to the fight against the regime. But it's not just that. Russia has very substantial military commitments in Syria. Commitments which is right at this moment, as I speak, strengthening and reinforcing. So if you fight the Syrian regime, you also got to be ready to fight Russia. Syria has a very long-standing, decades long-standing, and close relationship with the Islamic Republic of Iran. So if you get into a war against the Syrian regime, you're also going to be fighting Iran. So that's the Syrian army, the Russian army, the Iranian army, plus Hezbollah, plus others. I mean, does David Cameron really want to fight such a war? Of course, he's not going to fight it. He's going to send your son, Farouk, my son, anybody else's son that he can persuade, hoodwink, to put on their tin hat and go and do the fighting for him. I've got to take a break now for just 3 minutes. God willing, at the end of that break, I'll still be here presenting the second half of Comment here on Press TV. We are discussing the refugee crisis. Who's responsible for it? Don't go away. You're watching Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV. Still the voice of the voiceless. We're discussing this evening who is responsible for the veritable biblical flood of now millions of people on the move from Syria, from Iraq, from Afghanistan, no doubt to come from Yemen, where there is war, famine, pestilence, and disease. Where there is invasion, occupation, there will be refugees. And the countries mainly responsible for the visiting of catastrophe on countries like Syria, Iraq, Libya, are the countries to whom the refugees are now flowing. And some of them are absorbing that flow with a bit more grace than others. Germany being at the most graceful end, I think, making a wise economic calculation, Britain, under David Cameron, the most churlish, the most pitiful. Who is to blame for the refugee crisis and why? Well, the impact on countries like Hungary is producing a almost fascistic, ultra-nationalist response. Here is footage which will shame Hungary for an eternity. This woman, a right-wing camera operator for a right-wing television station, she thought she should take the matter into her own hands, kicking children, tripping up fleeing refugees, bringing them crashing to the ground as they hold their small children to their chests. Watch this one. This is the one that got her fired, tripped up and brought down by a journalist. Yes, could have broken a neck, could have broken a limb. These are Moroccan people, heartbroken like any person who has a heart. Heartbroken at the picture of this little boy drowned on a Turkish beach. Another of what is now an ocean of casualties of one kind or another. Casualties of the terrorist attacks, casualties now of the fleeing from the carnage that has been visited upon Syria. I cannot myself contain my anger and my rage, not just at the venality of our rulers, but at the stupidity of our rulers and the stupidity of the media which reports upon them and the stupidity of those who continue, despite Iraq, despite Libya, to follow them into every contrived crisis that they seek to create. Shiraz is in the UK. Let's hear from him. On you go, Shiraz.
Hi, George.
Hi there. Welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Just want to put a different angle to this. I think we all agree and we all know whoever is seeking truth knows who's responsible for this. Since this whole tragedy has begun, not only from the time when ISIS was created, but before that, when the Talibanization came into action, since 9/11, this has been, you know, started and now.
Well, since the 1980s, actually. Since the creation of Takfiri terror in Afghanistan in the 1980s.
Yeah,
paid for by the same people.
If you
people.
Look at the history, this group has always been there in the Islamic history, even yeah. before that as well.
Yes,
these
yes,
people
yes.
have been there.
Yes.
They've always been supported by the enemies of Islam. And, you know, but now we are in a stage where they have gained power because all the evil around the world, people sitting in Turkey, in the West, in Saudi, you know, they've all shipped hands, they've all held their shoulders with each other, and now they are against the humanity, as far as I understand that.
Mm.
So that's you know, that's no, I would say it's not a surprise that, you know, the evil is raising and uniting. What are we doing about that? Yes, we can criticize and we can blame and we can point fingers, but also I think a message to everyone is that, especially the Muslims, especially the migrants who have to now being forced to come over to wherever they can find a space, is to look internally and get ready for as far as their religion is concerned. They need to get themselves strong. Muslims have been quite weak for some time. I'm not talking about military-wise, but internally, being Muslims, being close to Quran, being close to the teachings, we have been really, really weak. And that's why these people like ISIS and all these evil doers and warmongers around the world can quite easily use our religion to create others to come into that ISIS kind of mentality. You know, if your religion is strong, you can never be deceived to join. Because these people who are joining ISIS from all over the world are, again, most of them are Muslims. So how weak is that they can just look at some out of the context, you know, sayings of the Prophet or some things from the Quran, and then they think that they have every right to do this this evil around the world.
Yeah, although I don't know where they find these texts, you know, buying and selling little girls, holding people as sex
all these
slaves,
things, I think they,
raping
they,
people, slaughtering and torturing
their,
people.
In their minds, I think, they think it's all legal and under the Islamic Sharia or whatever.
Wow.
It's not, because these people who are being deceived into this mentality, they are very weak in their understanding of Islam. That's one message
okay.
which I wanted to convey.
Well, you have done very clearly. Thanks, Shiraz. Let's go to Magub in Germany, in Bonn. That's now one of the front lines of the action, Magub. How's it going down?
Well, George, that is very interesting. In fact, if one gets down to the German railway stations and you see the coming of the refugees into the country,
yes.
it's very much disturbing. For the
Germany, the German government is agreeing to take almost 1 million refugees. They may end up actually taking rather more than that. What's the public opinion response to that government decision?
Apparently, one can say that should be, you know, much more doubtful, because the expectation of these people, this big number into the country, in fact, has caused some, you know, people to be rather very concerned.
But if you look at what I'm looking at, Magub, this
yeah.
is godsend. This is a blood transfusion
yes.
for a country like Germany or a
yes.
country like Britain. Look at all these working age people. Look at all these children that will soon be working age people. Look at an educated, cultured, resourceful, actually in many cases relatively well off group of refugees. This is actually going to turn out an asset for Germany. That's my point of view. What do you say?
Well, I think maybe in future that may turn out to be like that. But at the moment, you know, as I said, there are a lot of reservations amongst the general public also. Because the questions, the points you mentioned, of course, these are the questions they ask. My place of work, this type of this and that, you know, I could have achieved. Now there's a lot of competition going to be on, you know, each post.
Sure. So, no, for capitalism, it's a boon. Not necessarily for the existing labor force. I'm weeping because these people are lost to their own country. They, for whatever reason, have left Syria. The youngest, the most dynamic, the most educated, the most clever, the most cultured people are fleeing from Syria most likely forever. That's why I'm weeping about it.
I think, in fact, almost everybody is doing the same. But the question, in fact, who is responsible for all these actions? First and foremost, I have an opinion of the Syrians themselves. Mm-hmm. When the incident happened, they got down and started crying to the outside world to come and help them and get rid of their government. Well, this is the same government of Assad and Assad the father, because the history is that throughout even the government of the father, there were crises, and it didn't throw people out of their homes, you know, it didn't give this massive killing, you know, from all the provinces. But now you see people have been bombed out of their houses, out of their homes, those who managed to survive, and then have taken up to, you know, this run away from the country. And here the blame, first of all, gets down to them. The Syrians themselves should have just got down and sat and talked to Assad and the government, because in the time, the situation was that the Arab Spring was already spreading, so Assad would have no alternative. In the long run, he would have accepted to sit down and bring up peace together with his people in his own country. But the fact that they decided not to take this chance, well, caused the what is now happening in the country. And the
second, you're right to some extent. There have been a series of disastrous misjudgments. The Syrian regime disastrously misjudged the early signs of demonstrations and protests and strikes for a democratic transition in their country. They mishandled it grotesquely badly. And then those who had risen up for a transition in Syria militarized far too quickly, militarized their struggle. Then they accepted wave after wave of foreign fighters coming from all over the world. People who had nothing to do with Syria, nothing to do with the Arab world, can't speak a word of Arabic. People coming from every country in the world, and originally from many other countries in the world, immigrants to countries like Britain, Belgium, Holland, Germany, France, and so on. And then the Arab Gulf states, who have spent so many billions trying to build this Frankenstein monster into an ever more fearsome adversary. And the Western countries, who once more have hitched themselves to the most reactionary, foul, savage forces in the world, on the principle that my enemy's enemy is my friend, a lesson they ought to have learned in Afghanistan in the 1980s. Magoob, thanks for the call. Hussein is in Kenya. I need to go there. Hussein, welcome.
Assalamu alaikum, George.
Wa alaikum salam, welcome. Go ahead.
OK, Okay, George, I think we are missing the main reason here, all of us. The main point is the regime change in Syria. The USA is doing all it can to protect its baby, the Israeli, the Zionist regime, with the help of the few ignorant people coming from all over, Sichuan, I don't know, Germany, England, and what other places. They took those boys, young boys who don't know religion and anything, and formed this party, the ISIL party, they're calling itself the Islamic party. What Islam is that, George? Roasting people alive. It's all because America wants to save its baby Israel with the help of Saudi. Saudis are going Saudis are financing the whole thing. Forget about Turkey. Forget about Turkey. Turkey is not doing anything. Turkey is just a conduit, George.
I don't agree. I don't agree with that, Hussein. You had me up till then, but I'm afraid, Hussein, that Turkey is a lot more than just a conduit. And Turkey's role in this conflict will be written in blood in the history. Thanks for the call. Go to Canada now. Talk to Faz. Go ahead, Faz.
George, how's it going?
By the grace of God, good. Go ahead.
Yep. So I would like to basically try to summarize concisely who's responsible for this.
Okay.
I'll start by saying that the roots to this entire refugee crisis started with the Syrian government's economic policies themselves, which were ironically promoted by a lot of the multilateral institutions like the IMF and the World Bank.
Yeah, that's why Tony Blair brought Bashar here.
Yep, exactly. And so what they have done is essentially promote a socioeconomic situation that has exacerbated inequalities across Syria and other parts of the Middle East as well, and within their society. Now, that obviously is not responsible for the sudden deluge of refugees into Europe, but it certainly provided a breathing ground, a fertile ground, so to say. Then obviously Western powers, through their incessant threats of military intervention, through their support for the so-called rebel movements in Syria that are fighting the government, have done a lot more to destabilize the situation. Then obviously you'd have to factor in the role of the other Middle Eastern countries that have done nothing whatsoever to help in terms of providing humanitarian assistance to these refugees. And I specify in particular the countries that happen to be wealthy, in parts of the Persian Gulf, for example, as well as many others. And last but not least, I also have to include the role of the media, unfortunately. As you know, George, in the UK, the media is rapidly right-wing, at least the majority of media outlets are. And all they've done is, on the one hand, try to enthusiastically promote war, whilst on the other hand, when these refugees start coming into Europe, you see all the showers of hatred and xenophobia being distributed en masse to the masses who are gullible and fall for the right-wing propaganda. So there's certainly so many actors to blame for the refugee crisis. I don't think you can pinpoint it on any one actor in particular.
My goodness, Faz, in Canada, you're a clever man. Don't be a stranger. Keep calling. Let's go to another clever man. Nuh, in Algeria. Nuh, welcome back. Go ahead.
How are you?
By the grace of God, good. Thank you. Go ahead, sir.
George, we see that the media start to talk about refugee, but refugees start in 2011. They start to talk about refugee after the boy Ilan found in the beach. Well, this photo was not real because the sea rejected the body parallel to the wave, not across. So it's clear manipulation. Secondly, you talked about the quality of the migrant. Yes, they are very educated, and they are at 66% men, and 80% of these men are between 18 years and 35 years. So what is going on here? The refugees are not coming from Syria. The refugees are coming from Turkey. Now, if we go back 2 months In the past, the president of Federation of German Industry, Ulrich Gidrow, want additional 8,000 or more foreign workers. Europe agreement in the forbidden of public opinion is hostile. So he participated in the refugee crisis to change the regulation. You see that to cross from Turkey to Europe was cost 10,000 euro. Now it costs 2,000 euro only. Yeah. So who is paying the difference? The German industrial boss and some of French industrial boss. Now you see that German accept more refugee than any other country. Why? Because they have the minimum wage of pay is too much lower, 300 euro, I guess. In France, it's 1,015. You know, even in UK, why David Cameron doesn't accept is high. So this is a clear manipulation made by Turkish government and some industrial boss in the European Union.
Well, there's much there that I could agree with, much that I would have to disagree with. But the time is short, no? Why don't you drop me a line on some of these matters and we can correspond about it. Thanks for the call. I want to go to Nigeria next, talk with Issa. Issa, welcome to the show.
Good evening, George.
Good evening to you, sir. Go ahead.
Well, George, you asked an interesting question. Who is to blame and
yes.
why?
Yes.
Well, who is to blame other than those who feel that they can police the whole world, that they can decide to invade any country or remove any leader of their who doesn't dance to their tune? Yeah, that's my belief. You invaded Iraq for flimsy reason. You make almost 1 million people have died because of your narrow-minded interpretation of who is at fault by your own standard. Secondly, you supported rebels in Syria against a legitimate government. You are now causing turmoil in Yemen, and then is now nemesis. So you have to deal with the influx of the refugees.
Yeah, it's called a boomerang. Issa, thanks for that call. Let me press on because there's record numbers of callers this evening. Alvi is in Edinburgh. Go ahead, Alvi. Alvi?
Hi, George.
Hi there. Go ahead, sir.
Just what I'd like to ask a question. You're right about who's to blame, and I think it's really interesting comments by Noor and Issa as well.
Yeah.
These refugees, why are they leaving the country and coming to these regions? Yes, I know there are crises there, and it's hard, but from the Islamic point of view, I would say that they should stand and they should fight. I know it's a very hard comment and it's not easy when you're in that situation, but they should be fighting this off because the treatment they're getting and what the images which you're showing, and who knows, because there's no records of these refugees coming in, who they are and how they're being then used afterwards by these countries, as people are saying that they're opening up their gates for a hidden reason. I just want to say and have your comments on this, that why they should be standing. They should be standing tall and
well,
fighting the
evil. Of course, people flee from war. And insofar as these refugees are fleeing from war, then, of course, any compassionate person must sympathize with them. Any family in distress requires the assistance of all of us. What I'm arguing is that this particular flood of people at this particular time gives me a very serious level of suspicion that there is an orchestration of this crisis going on from Turkey. I'm going to be investigating it further, and I'll return to the subject in due course. It's been marvelous. Thanks for watching.
Hello, if you just comment, put your name and the picture, you that number. And just make sure
that your celebrity volume is set to 0. 0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You need to put through this. phone number and then we'll be back. Comment, and then we'll take an idea.